How can I know God is real?
What does the Bible say about politics?
Why does a good God allow suffering?
If you have questions about faith, life or culture, don't be afraid to ask. This is Ask with David Dean.
G'day everyone, Dave Dean here. And our question for the week is, how do we as Christians approach the topic of transgenderism with both compassion and conviction? As Christians, we believe in God's good design. We affirm that everyone, regardless of how they identify, is created by God and possesses inherent worth, dignity, value. Yet we also acknowledge that we stand in the shadow of the fall. God's good design has been damaged by evil, and the Bible tells us that creation is out of joint, subject to frustration, and that includes our bodies. So no one has a straightforward view of themselves. We all face insecurities, health issues, and image issues, which can account for those who question the binary norms of gender and sex. So let's start with compassion. Absolutely. There is a degree of agreement on the diagnosis, frankly. Yes, something is wrong with this world. People can feel out of place in their own bodies. The crucial question, however, is what is a healthy path to pursue? The Christian response should be first to sit with people in their pain. Emmanuel, God with us, demonstrates this. Job's friends initially sat with him in silence for 7 days embodying compassion before they made the mistake of speaking prematurely. As Christians, we should have tremendous compassion for people who feel out of place in their own bodies. The reality of mental health and the challenges faced by those struggling with gender dysphoria is real and should invoke a compassionate response from us, free from political ideology. Mental health outcomes for those individuals can be devastating, leading to self-harm and all sorts of ideation. Our compassion should precede any other response, first and foremost. However, we should also hold our convictions. If sin has indeed distorted our sense of self, then our feelings can sometimes lead us astray from our true identity. The Bible speaks of male and female in binary terms, not on a spectrum. Now, this can be difficult for those who feel that they embody both. For those who are intersex and experience biological ambiguity, it highlights the painful reality of our fractured experience in this world, not a negation of God's design. Jesus addresses this in his conversation with Nicodemus in John 3, where he says we must be, quote, born again. It's a radical concept. That means we didn't come out right the first time. For someone who believes that they are transgender, then, we must gently point out that not every instinct and preference we have is directly from God. Sin has distorted and disoriented us all, leading to false identities that do not reflect God's original creation. Being born again through faith in Jesus, however, offers hope. This transformation tells us that the ultimate fulfillment and identity do not lie in our own bodies or what we can do with them through modern procedures. The ultimate dysphoria was when Jesus, who had no sin, was made sin for us. This isn't unique to transgender individuals. It's true for all of us. So following Jesus means we don't become less ourselves, we become the true version of ourselves. Jesus teaches that if anyone would follow him, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. Denying oneself involves saying no to some of the deepest parts of ourselves, yet as we do that, we become the real selves that God intended us from the beginning. So how do we approach transgenderism as Christians? With compassion, recognizing the real pains and struggles involved, and yet with conviction, understanding that our true identity is found in being born again through Jesus Christ.
Do you have a question about Christian beliefs, theology, doctrine, philosophy, or culture? Don't be afraid to ask. Go to drcdean.com/ask. That's Dean with an E.